This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. President Trump is in Texas today, where he's getting the latest on Harvey, which has been downgraded to a tropical storm since making landfall on Friday. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he's glad the president is in his state to see the rescue and recovery efforts.
Everyone in the state of Texas is focused first on saving every life that we can. Then we want to help in the evacuation and transition process. And in typical Texas fashion, we will rebuild and make it better than ever.
The storm is currently over the Gulf, on track to make its way to Louisiana tomorrow. On the line with us is Lieutenant Commander Simon Green, who's deployed with the Coast Guard from Joint Base Cape Cod. Commander Green, I understand you're waiting to go out on another mission shortly, so thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Absolutely, Deborah. Thanks for having me.
So can you tell us, what's it like there right now? What's the scene like? And I understand it's your third day in Houston, right?
Yes, ma'am. So we got here early Monday morning, immediately started going to work doing rescues. A fair portion of the city was already inundated when we got here. Tasking was pretty lax because it had just happened, and so we went out looking for folks on rooftops, waving flags, shining their lights, and we immediately started hoisting, taking them to the closest triage places we could find, and then getting back to it. So right now, more of the city has become inundated in the 3 days we've been here, and so we have planes, Coast Guard assets, around the clock going out and doing hoisting. About 30% of the Coast Guard air assets from all over the country are here in Houston right now.
I'm just wondering if you could just describe it a little bit more. When you find someone on a rooftop in Houston, what do you do exactly to rescue them? Explain that process to me.
Okay, so normally our crew is four. There's two pilots, a flight mech. They control the hoist up and down, and then we have a rescue swimmer. Here, because of just the sheer quantity of survivors on the ground, I've been taking two swimmers with me. So we put both down together. They go down. There may be a group of one, and maybe a group of two, maybe a group of 10. Yesterday we had 30, 40 folks coming out of houses and congregating underneath the helicopter. So one of my swimmers will triage, figure out us. We hoisted a ton of newborn babies, elderly. My swimmer was putting folks who were disabled on his back, carrying them out to the basket. And so he tries to triage, take the ones that need care the most. We hoist them until our cabin is full. 7 to 14 or 15 was our max yesterday. We go and try to find a place that we can land to get them off, at least to dry land. And then there's other assets that can come and land that aren't hoist capable to move them to shelters, et cetera. And then we're immediately right back on scene. And our swimmers have gotten the next folks ready. We put the basket down and we go. The big thing is not congregating people. The last thing we want is a ton of people in one area, potentially don't know each other, and then we run out of fuel and we need to leave them there. So we've been kind of skipping around from block to block to create, it sounds kind of weird, but to create a little bit of confusion so we don't get congregations. It just makes it less safe for our swimmers on the deck while still being able to extract as many people quickly as possible.
So just for a visual here, not to completely belabor this, but you literally lower a basket down to take folks out and hoist them over to somewhere else? You're lowering a basket down from a plane?
From a helicopter, yes, ma'am. So from a helicopter, basket goes down, and we're talking about, people's front yards, people's driveways, which are now 5, 6, 8, 9 feet underwater, and our swimmer is basically wading in his waist to his chest high, trying to bring people over. He had kids on his back wading over to the basket, so we're just hovering over treetops, over people's homes, lowering the basket down. My flight mech's giving me conning command so I can hold position, and swimmers bring over, fill up the basket with whatever safely can fit in it, and then we bring them up into the cabin, unload it, and it goes right back down. So if you imagine just us hovering over your house, lowering a basket down, except in this case, those houses are inundated.
So how many people would you say that you've rescued so far?
The first day we had about 25. We were still getting our feet wet, for lack of a better term. And then Yesterday we hoisted somewhere in the 70s. I think all told it was somewhere in the low 80s. We ourselves hoisted, and like I said, we're just one of multiple high teens to 20s Coast Guard air assets that are here in theater.
So more than 100. You've rescued more than 100 just with your crew?
Yes, ma'am. I think we're right around 100. Mm.
And so how many crews like yours are doing similar work?
So actual assets, there are somewhere high teens to low 20s, and then you figure there's twice that many to sometimes 2.5 times that many crews. So on the H-60 side, the Coast Guard has two types of helicopters, the H-65 and the H-60. I'm on a H-60. So we basically are going, we're double pumping a helicopter. So one crew will go out in the morning. They'll fly until they hit their exhaustion limits, and then another crew will go out, and they'll fly it in the afternoon and evening. So it's basically a continuous, and then all night they're getting repaired, refueled, whatever the planes require to go back out in the morning. It's the visibility here has been terrible. It's just been absolute torrential pouring since we got here, and it hasn't let up. So navigating around the city, especially for all of us that aren't familiar with it, has been pretty dangerous. We've literally just been following roads because there aren't antennas in the middle of a road until we need to jump off of it and go to a neighborhood. So we've been flying anywhere from 80 feet off the deck to 250 feet off the deck to navigate. So because of that, we're a little loath to fly at night just because the dangers and the chances of striking wires, et cetera, rises exponentially. And it's also really dangerous to put a swimmer down into a dark environment. He doesn't know what's going on. We don't know where the cable is, if it gets wrapped around something. So that risk outweighs even the high gain of potentially saving a life.
Wow. It sounds unbelievable. You're in Houston, what, through the end of this week?
The Coast Guard will be here for as long as we need to be here. We're usually the first in and the last out for these type of disasters. So we'll be here as long as we need to be. There's a ton of crew Coast Guard-wide. Obviously, all the air stations, including Cape Cod, is still standing a search and rescue capability back at home. And then they'll take, you know, those crews that are at home and bring them down here. And I imagine myself and my crew will head back to the Cape and start standing the SAR watch there probably this weekend. But there'll be air assets, Coast Guard, small boats, whatever they need here for as long as Houston and the greater Texas area needs us.
And how would you say, you know, you're holding up, and does it make you nervous to watch a storm of this magnitude?
Well, we're holding up just fine. MREs are a lot better, I think, than they were back in the old days. So not too bad. And in terms of the storm, we fly through pretty terrible weather all the time. I personally was in Alaska for 3 years, so this is about the same in terms of magnitude, if not a little bit better. The winds are sustained here still, even day three or four. But just to get out and get around the city in these conditions, it's not optimal, but it's definitely something that we can handle. That's why flight school is 2 years, and we train constantly for this sort of thing, whether it's offshore SAR in a winter storm off the Cape, or whether we're down here in low vis and high humidity here in Texas. It's just another day, I guess, for us.
But does it make you worried about what might happen if a storm of that magnitude ever hit up here?
Not really.
Okay.
I guess because I grew up in New England. I've seen us get hit by a couple hurricanes, two winters, three winters ago. We got about all we could handle, and New Englanders are pretty resilient. So the flooding, I don't think would be as bad. The inundation wouldn't be as bad. That's really the terrible thing. It's just the quick, almost immediate inundation is what happened in Katrina and is what is happening now that just leads to widespread catastrophe. I would, not knowing floodplains and all the rest, I would say that New England, I think, would probably be somewhat safe, with maybe the exception of some coastal, but now I'm speaking about something that I'm not 100% sure of, but I'm sure the New England people would be more than able to handle it.
All right. Lieutenant Commander Simon Green, he's part of the team deployed from Joint Base Cape Cod to Houston. He's been there 3 days with his crew. Later this hour, we'll hear from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh about what the city is doing to help Houston, and we'll talk with the mayor about other topics as well. But Lieutenant Commander Green, thanks so much for being on Radio Boston today.
Thank you so much, Deborah.
And good luck down there.
Thank you very much.